Let everybody say amen. Amen. God is good all the time. And if your life has been stretched out, that you've got a few years behind your name, then you ought to be thanking God even more so. Because the way our young folk are dying today, we didn't have to still be here. We did not have to be here. I understand that we view death differently when it's a violent death than we do a natural death. But God nevertheless has given us all still life, because you couldn't be here if you had not life in you. And I hope and pray this morning that you're here for none other than to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I just can't, I can't help but to think about those who have lost loved ones. How sad a state of affairs it is when you lose loved ones. But we know that life must go on. And so I'm asking you this morning to continue to thank God for your life, though it may be what you, though it may not be what you want it to be. Thank God for your life anyway. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O wonderful and righteous Heavenly Father, it is you this day, O Lord, that has given us life. Father, you have saved us from the clutches of death for at least one more time, O Lord. Father, we have seen the beginning of this day. We may not see the end, but at least we've seen enough time that we are here to worship you this morning. And we thank you, O Lord. We thank you because you loved us, O Lord, and we thank you because you continue to love us. And we thank you most of all because of your darling Son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross. We come this morning thanking you, O Heavenly Father, for all that you have done for us. And we come praying this morning and thanking you for the church itself. We thank you for the sacrifice on the cross that allowed us to be in your Son's church this morning. We thank you this morning for the elders here at the congregation, and we pray for their families as well. We thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the services, and thank you for their families as well. We thank you for the membership here and their families also, O Lord. And Father, we're praying this morning here in our midst this morning because there's death among us. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you would bless the family who has, the Davis family in particular, who has lost a loved one in their family. We just pray, O Lord, that if it be thy will, that you would continue to bless and strengthen this family. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for that entire family. And Father, we know that violence is everywhere, for it reared its ugly head once again this past week. And Father, we're just praying that if it be your will, we're praying for those families also. We don't have to know them, O Lord. We just know that they are part of your, part of the children of God, O Heavenly Father, because you made us all. And you make the sunshine to fall upon all of us, O Lord. And we thank you, God. We thank you this morning that the church is able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And we just pray that we would be strengthened enough that we also may withstand his wiles. Then, Father, we come praying this morning for those who may be without. And many are without. And there are others who have more than that. But we just thank you that we have what we are. And we can, as the Bible say, learn to be content with whatsoever state we might be in. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you this morning, Father, for this day that was full of sunshine. And Lord, you got us up. You woke us up, but you didn't have to get us up. But you did, O Lord. And we're just thanking you for the getting up part as well as the waking up part. We're thanking you for the food, the shelter, and the clothing. And we're thanking you for the roof that's and the walls that surround this building right now, O Heavenly Father. We thank you that we're able to worship in a country that does not outlaw our worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning, Lord, that our neighbors, those that we come in contact with, that we would be have our light turned on so that others may see. And we thank you, Father, that we can turn on a light. And we just pray that our lights have not gone dim yet. Then, my Heavenly Father, we're praying for those who are sick, those who are traveling and those who are just unable to be with us for legitimate reasons, and those that are unable to be with us because they just didn't want to, Father, we're praying for them also. We're just praying that you would touch their hearts and give them the ideal, Lord, that they need to be here with us. And then, Father, help us to reach out and touch them, that we may explain to them. And then, Father, we know that you loved us because you sent your Son to the cross on our behalf. Father, when we have done all that we have been asked to do and we have found our last steps, and we pray that our last steps, all of our steps, would be favorable with thee. When this time comes, O Lord, we just pray and ask you for a home with thee. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask all these and other blessings. In his name, let us all say, amen. This morning, from the text that was read for your hearing, from the first book of John, chapter 4 and verse number 10. Oh, and by the way, let me throw this out there before I forget it. Brother Robinson is not with us this morning because during that last week, that violent outburst, one of his best friends lost his sister, so he's with them this morning. So let us continue to pray for him. And like I always tell you, you continue to pray for me. Please continue to pray for me because I'm going to pray for you. And even if you don't pray for me, I'm still going to pray for you anyhow. So from the fourth chapter of the first book of John, let us read the verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is a powerful word, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the power of God's love. In any language that you decide to bring it out in, love is a powerful word. It is part of a network, if you will. It is part of the nurturing, if you will, of a child as he grows up. To adults, it's what keeps them grounded. To a Christian, it's what God has displayed toward us from our beginnings. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible tells us that God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Whether you say it in the English language or in another language, the word love is a universal word. As for Christians, the Christians understand that what's even more important than the human kind of love, he understands that nothing can compare to the love of God. His love is all around us, and we see it in our every waking moment of our lives. And we even see it, although we can't, we can even feel it in our sleep. We can't see it when we sleep, but we have enough faith to believe that his love will protect us. Do you remember how as a child, at least some of us should remember how as a child, there was a prayer that we said that contained these words. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And for those of us who said that prayer and are still here, that's because his love, his powerful love, worked on us or for us. Now, I know someone may say, here we go again, preacher, you're going to talk about love again. Well, I got news for you. The Bible is full of love. And until you get it right down here, you can't expect to meet God up there in love. So we've got to get it right down here. And I'll just tell you this one other thing about love. Until you can get love the way it ought to be, you're not going to have a high expectation of reaching God in heaven, as I said. So when you think about it, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind. We've got to love the Lord. Now, I'm taking sort of a different approach today. I'm not so much going to concentrate on us loving one another as I am on loving God. So that's how it differs this morning. When I think about it, when I think about how good God's love is toward us, and for many of us, we don't understand the word love to begin with, not the Christian kind of love. Oh, I understand that when a man tells a woman that he loves us, but that's a different kind of love. Sometimes that's all lust. That's not love. And as you get older, you'll understand what I mean. But what I'm talking about is the love of a Christian for the God that brought us from where we were to put us to where we are today and where we expect to be in the later on. God's love initiated redemption. God has love for mankind, and He has loved mankind for a very long time. As a matter of fact, He loved us from the beginning of time. When we examine the text, we find biblical proof that He loved us. As a matter of fact, let's look at the text for a moment once again. In verse number 10 of 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." And I know there are a couple of men in the class, in the audience this morning that use that word sometimes. I'm going to get a little bit later on into a little bit of an explanation of that word. But you just understand that God loved us. That's the important. When God first decided to create mankind, back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, around verse number 26, He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, I want you to know something this morning, church, so that we can get this right. We know that God created us in an image of love. Even when God went to seek Adam and Eve in the garden on that day, back in Genesis chapter 3, He already knew what was going on with Adam and Eve. He knew that Adam and Eve would be in hiding. He knew that they had discovered what they should have left alone. And sometimes we mess with stuff that we should leave alone too. Sometimes we don't understand we don't seem to get the Word of God enough to understand that what God says is what God means. And we tinker with the Word of God a lot. And you'll get one person over across the street who'll tell you that it means one thing, and a person on the other side of the street will tell you it means something else. But I'm going to tell you something, church. God's Word has only one meaning, and that's truth, the true meaning. So Adam and Eve, as God went to look for them on that day, were in the garden hiding. And I'll tell you something, church. We've got to be careful. We can't ever get in our mind that we can fool God yet. Yet many people think that they can fool God. You're not fooling God, you're only fooling yourself. But Adam and Eve thought that they could outsmart God, but they couldn't. And this is the beginning of man's fall into sin through disobedience. But yet God still had compassion and love for man. For He could have destroyed mankind on the spot, but instead He drove man out of the Garden of Eden. Not only that, but in Genesis chapter 6 also. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says in Genesis 6 and around verse number 6 that it repented the Lord that He had even made man. It grieved Him to His heart that He had made man. And I understand that that's a powerful statement in the book of God's Word, that it grieved Him that He even made man. This creation that God brought forth is now grieving Him. This creation that God brought in His own image is now making Him to be grieved at His heart. And sometimes, church, I don't know if you are like me, but sometimes I wonder, how do we look in the sight of God today? I wonder if we grieve Him, and the answer to that is probably a definite yes. But I just thank God that He didn't destroy the entire world. He left somebody here to replenish. He left Noah here and his family to replenish the earth. And when you think about it, when you think about how good God has been to us, when you think about just how good God has treated us, even though we don't treat Him right, you have to say to yourself, "Lord, why do You continue on?" I'm glad He does. But Lord, why do You continue on to treat me so good when I'm so bad? But He is still in love with mankind. He is in love with us enough to allow us another chance after another chance after another chance. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16, to prove His love, He sent His only begotten Son because He loved us. He sent unto us a Savior to become the propitiation for our sin. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, it's put this way. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, I told you I'd get into a little simple definition of the word. And so the question may become, what is that word? What does that big word, propitiation, mean? It means the divine side of the work of Christ on the cross. It means that what God did for us was the right thing for Him to do at the time, but it saved us. It provided us redemption. In other words, the Lord became sin for the sinner man. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. God forgave us, church. And God still forgive us. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved from sin. And to let you know that particular text contains the reason that one gets baptized. The reason that one ought to get baptized is for the remission of sin. Any other reason is no reason. And I've heard some folks say, I just want to get baptized because my family got baptized a long time ago. That's not the right reason. Some say they want to get baptized because my grandma said that's the right thing for me to do. Well, that's not the right reason. You get baptized for the remission of your sins. Not only did God initiate redemption, but the love of Jesus completed redemption. Not only does God the Father love us, but the Son also loves us, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2. We are told to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, and offering a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling Savior. God loved us, church, and even His Son still loves us, and even God still loves us. So sometime you have to ask yourself the question, Lord, why do You love us so much? Lord, why do You love us so much? And the answer to that is because we are His, and He created us, and He wants us. He wants all of us to be saved. He provided redemption for us so that we could be saved. But then, how do we know that God loves us? Well, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, the Bible says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give life a ransom for many. But I want you to turn over in the book of Philippians with me, if you will. Just go over with me for a few moments to the book of Philippians. In Philippians, in chapter number two, around about verse number 6. Now, Brother Brinkley always prays this in his prayer, but I'm going to repeat it to you again this morning. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and even given him a name which is above every name. Oh, the name of Jesus is above every man. The name of Jesus. Jesus came down to this earth. And I think about it a lot of times, how that Jesus came down to an earth that was rottening from the core out. But yet He loved us enough to hang on yonder's cross. He loved us enough from the cross of His death. He even prayed in Luke chapter 23, around verse number 34, asking His Father to forgive those who were standing at the foot of His cross, bartering for His garments. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, God's love is powerful, church. He loved us enough to become bounty for our sins, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And I tell you this all the time, and I'm going to repeat it again because I like to hear myself say this.
I like the fact that it was His blood that washes us clean today, church. I love to hear the fact that it was His blood that cleansed us from our... I love to hear the word His blood, because the blood and the water in this pool can mix. They mix themselves together, and I don't know the chemical reaction. I'm not a chemist, but I know that the Bible says when you go down in the watery grave of baptism, you come up a new creature. All things are new according to the Bible. Today, some of us don't love one another because we say things like, I will never go back to that church, or I'll never go to that church because I can't see myself loving brother or sister so-and-so because he or she looks funny. Well, I got some news for you. A news flash here if I could insert right now. However he or she looks, that's what God gave them to look like. And when you don't love them, you may wind up saying, if I only had loved him. We can't get it right until we do what God tells us to do. We can't get it right until we realize that Jesus died that we might live. And in the end, there's only one thing that matters, and that is whether or not you obey God's commandments. You see, it really doesn't matter whether you have beauty, or whether you have money, or whether you have power. But what matters is, did we accept the teachings, and did we love Him as much as He loved us? Even on His way to death, He loved us. He loved us enough to pray for mankind. He prayed for Himself. And some of us who are still perfectly healthy, we still don't pray for one another, or we don't pray to Him. But one day we shall all come to a sad realization that God is not playing with us, even though some of us think that He is. Lord, if you just excuse me while I go do what I need to do and what I want to do, I may have time for you someday. But this day, I don't have time for you. But then, we should love Jesus just as He loved us. Just how deep should the love of God be in us? Well, it should be deep enough that according to Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, church, you're supposed to love God enough that you do whatever He tells us to do. Follow His will. But how can a person repay Jesus? If Jesus asked us now to repay Him for His substitutionary death, His life on the cross for our lives down here, would we be able to repay Him? Could we pay Him back? How do you pay someone for your life? Well, Jesus answered the question Himself in John chapter 14 and verse number 15. He said, if you love me, that's a big if there. If you love me, keep my commandments. As a matter of fact, if you love the Lord, you will know and keep His commandment. You will understand His new commandment found in John 13 and 34, that we are to love one another as I have loved you. He even repeated it. He said, also love one another. He has already demonstrated His love toward us in Romans 5 and 8 once again. But the bigger question is, have you shown your love to Him? And I think about it sometimes, church. I think about it quite frequently, as a matter of fact. I think about that God didn't have to do what He did for us. We were sinking in sin. We were knee-deep in sin, as the saying goes. We were ready to be called home by God. But instead, He sent His Son. And I think that some of us are afraid of loving the Lord. But how can we not love someone who has given so much for us? How do you repay the Master? Well, we can repay Him through love. Love is the only way. And love is the only way that we can repay Him, through loving Him enough to do His commandments, to follow His commandments. The very first element in the fruit of the Spirit is love in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13, it tells us to abide in faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity, which is love, church. And some of us,
We like to tell you how I can't stand such and such person. We like to tell you how I'll never like them. I never did and I never will. And I'm just so glad that God didn't take that attitude that I don't love them and I never will, because where would we be today if God had not sent His love through Jesus Christ down to hang on the cross? What power that God's love has. Look at the text again in 1 John. Let me flip back over there for a moment. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, look what the Bible says. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. In other words, we couldn't save God. He had to save us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The power of God's love is the greatest story man will ever know. It's the greatest script ever written. It's the story of how much power there is in God's love. It caused Him to give up the precious jewel of heaven, His only Son, to come down to this dirty, disgusting, and depraved mankind on this dirty and disgusting earth. A story of how that this jewel in the form of Jesus was despised and rejected by His own. Yet He stretched out His arms in love. He went to the garden and bowed down and asked the Lord to remove such a bitter cup, but not His will. Let Your will be done. Because of the power of love, He saved mankind, and yet many will not accept and love Him back. All I'm simply asking you today is to love Him enough to submit to Him. Give your life to Him. Unlike He gave His life, your life doesn't have to be given physically. Your life has to be given in love and with your heart, that you may meet God in total submission to His will. He is not asking for anything that we cannot do. He is only asking that we love Him as He loved us. I wish that I could but promise anybody here today that tomorrow may be a better day, but unfortunately, there are no guarantees. There are no promises that there will even come a tomorrow. It may not come in any of our lives, but it certainly may not come in any individual's life. We don't have that guarantee. So the text says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If God had not loved us and sent His Son, you ask yourself, just where would I be? What would I have hope in? Well, there are many things some folk like to hope in. Some say some hope in their television set, their flat screen TV. I hope I get home in time enough to watch this or that or that. Some put their hope in their bank account. They open up their bank books or their bank statement and they'll say, I got X amount of dollars and you remember the rich man, I'm doing all right. I'm going to build myself some more barns, he said. But the Bible says that God asked him, what are you going to do, fool? Because this night thy life is required of thee. So I ask you the question this morning, if you haven't submitted yourself to God, if you don't love God, you need to re-examine yourself, because one day you are going to be called. And when you are called, there's no hanging up on God. You can't say, I'm not home. You can't say, my line was busy and I didn't hear you calling. You can't say, I didn't get your text message, because He doesn't send text messages. You can't say, I didn't get your email, because He doesn't use the computer. You can't say that nobody sent the letter to me. Lord, I didn't get the memo, because He doesn't send memo. The memo is already written in the church. He said one day man is going to die, and then after death comes the judgment. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One day we're going to have to leave here. And I wish I knew the day that I was going to leave here. I'm not wishing that you knew the day. That's up to you to wish for that. I'm only wishing for me. This is my wish. My wish is that I can tell you, I know I won't be here after my expiration date of such and such and such, but I don't know that. So I try to tell you today, and if you don't listen today, tomorrow when I'm gone, don't ask me for my help, because I can't help you.
So what I try to do now and what I'm trying to teach us all to do is to love the Lord like He loved us. How powerful His love was. His love was powerful enough to save us from where we were headed. To put us where we're going right now. And I like the hope that I can have in Jesus Christ. Like I said, many people hope on material things. But the material, nothing material is going to the grave with you. Oh yeah, I know folk throw stuff in the grave when people die. But nothing there of this material realm will ever go with you when you go into death. If you throw it in my casket, you just lost it because it's going under the ground. But I tell you something. While we are above ground, while we are here, while we yet live, we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we can reach out and love Him a little bit more. Now, God is not asking us for the kind of love that a man shows to his wife. That's not the kind of love He's talking about. A man loves his wife and a wife loves her in most cases. But that's not the same thing. The kind of love I'm talking about puts us on an even keel with the Lord. He says, love me as I have loved you. And there are those who say, well, I just can't love the Lord as much as He loved me because I'm not going to the grave for nobody. And I don't blame you. But He's not asking you to do that. He's not asking us to die physically. He's asking us to die to sin that may be haunting or haunting us in life. He's asking us not to live like we have been living. He's asking us to submit our hearts to Him in love and do His command, keep His commandments. And there are those who say, well, preacher, I'd like to serve the Lord, but it just takes a little bit too much of my time. And let me ask you something. If God gives us 6 whole days, that's 6, count them, 6. 6 whole days. And He asks you for 1 day. And I don't think we stay here too long. Not too long. We stay here just for a little while. And there are those who say, well, I've worked all week. I can't get up that early. Well, I remember in the Sabbath, after the Sabbath had ended, the Mary and the other ladies were going to the tomb and they went at dawn. They got up and they went. And we can't give 2 hours. 2 hours. And if you don't come to Bible class, it's less than 2 hours. Oh, if I decide that while I'm up here to preach for a couple hours, that's different. But normally you don't even get 2 hours in here to serve the Lord, to worship God in spirit and in truth. And some say that's too long. But yet, here I go. Yet you go to the job and you'll put in 2 or 3 hours before you even get a break. And then that break may be only 10 minutes. And then you go back for another couple hours before you can get lunch. And then come after lunch, you might have an afternoon break, and you don't say nothing. Yeah, but preacher, that's my job. Well, your job is to serve the Lord and to love the Lord also. That's part of your job. That's your Christian duty. That's learning to serve God and be in His corner so that He'll be in your corner. I saw a sign the other day. It says, if God seems to have moved, if God seems far away, guess who moved? And I thought about that. And I said, that is so true. God didn't leave me, or God didn't leave you. We had to leave Him. But nevertheless, learning to love the Lord as He has loved us. Learning to keep His commandments. Because when that precious jewel from heaven came down to this earth, He found the earth in disenchanted condition. He found the world in an awful state. He found the world in despair. But yet, through it all, Jesus rolled up his sock leg and said, I'm going to step in this. And he did. And oh, when he became human enough, as I told you before, in Luke chapter 23, he asked the Lord to let this cup pass me. Lord, I don't want to die. I've been down here for a little while now. I've gotten used to this. I don't want to die. But he knew that the scriptures had needed to be fulfilled. Prophecy had to be fulfilled. And he understood that if this cup would not leave him, that was the will of his Father in heaven. But then I like in John chapter 17, after he came back, he said, Lord, I thank you for giving me these. And I ask you to bring me back to glory, that I have the glory that I once had with you before the world was. Read John chapter 17 sometime. That's the most beautiful prayer I've ever heard in my life. God, a father, a son praying to his father. So when you think about it, church, if you don't love him now, the question becomes, when will you love him? Can you promise yourself that you will love him more tomorrow than you do today? I think you shouldn't make that promise. I think today is the best day of all. Today is the greatest day of all. And how do I do that, preacher? Well, you do that very simply. You ask God, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come forward, you hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and then be baptized. Brother Jackson will baptize you right now. I don't even have to look at him. I know he will. But if you've already been baptized, but you've just walked astray, you come back to God, ask him to forgive you, and then ask the church to pray for you. And some folk are ashamed to ask the church to pray for them. You should never be ashamed to ask your sisters and brothers to pray for you. Now, some of us like to handle things on our own. That's a different subject now. But I'm talking about, I just don't like folk to know what's going on in my life. That kind of thing. But if you ask the Lord to get you back on track, you can be just like the prodigal son. You can come back home. And when you come home, try never to roam anymore. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Yeah.